week, we travel from the back roads of Louisiana to the streets of Europe's capitals, delving into food. We talk with chefs, food historians, authors, and producers. We search out current trends, revive forgotten traditions, and naturally, we're going to share a recipe with you. On the July 4th weekend, we celebrate the founding of this great nation. So raise the flag, light the grill, and remember George, Thomas, and John Hancock, that is. God bless America, y'all. Join me, Chef John Falls, and Peppa Perilou of Pimignola Sidewalk Cafe and Catering as we celebrate the 4th of July on Stirring It Up next. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Obama's visit to South Africa has been shaped to a degree by that nation's concern over the declining health of former South African President Nelson Mandela, hospitalized with respiratory ailment. At a state dinner tonight in Pretoria, President Obama raised a glass in Mandela's honor.
We drew inspiration from your struggle, and your success reminded us that all things were possible, including the improbable idea that a son of an African man might even become an American president.
Mr. Obama met with members of the Mandela family. British Prime Minister David Cameron is wrapping up an unannounced visit to Afghanistan. NPR's Sean Carberry reports that Cameron spoke with President Karzai about a number of issues, including peace talks with the Taliban and Britain's long-term commitment to Afghanistan.
Prime Minister Cameron says Afghan security forces have made great progress and that British combat troops will be home by the end of 2014.
Until recently, we were in 130 different patrol bases. We're now in just over 10.
Cameron says the UK will continue to provide support and training for Afghan forces, but the country's future depends now on holding successful elections next year and negotiating peace with the Taliban. Karzai says while there's no date set for peace talks that were scuttled last week, he's hopeful the Taliban will come to the table. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Secretary of State John Kerry is continuing a shuttle diplomacy effort aimed at restarting Middle East peace talks. NPR's Emily Harris has more from Jerusalem.
Kerry has been traveling between Amman, Jordan, where he met Palestinian officials today and yesterday, and Jerusalem, where he meets Israeli officials for the third time in 3 days. Kerry canceled a trip to Dubai to stay one more night in this region and continue conversations aimed at restarting peace negotiations. No one in the talks is talking publicly much about the substance or outcome so far. Kerry has said he wants to show some kind of progress soon. Israeli media suggests the two sides may agree to meet directly just to discuss formally restarting peace negotiations. Emily Harris, NPR News, Jerusalem.
In upstate New York, torrential rains and the resulting floods have taken many by surprise. Governor Andrew Cuomo spoke to reporters in Herkimer, New York.
You've had people's homes that are just destroyed and demolished. In a matter of minutes, out of the blue.
At least two people are missing in New York and in Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, a record-setting heat wave is blanketing parts of the Southwest. Highs between 115 and 120 are forecast for parts of Arizona, Nevada, and California. This is NPR News. The president of Ecuador says his nation cannot begin to consider an asylum request from self-described NSA leaker Edward Snowden unless the 29-year-old American is on Ecuadorian soil. Rafael Correa says that in a Friday phone call, Vice President Biden had asked Ecuador to reject Snowden's asylum request. It's believed that Snowden is still in Moscow. It's Pride weekend in San Francisco. Dozens of couples descended on City Hall there today to get married after a Supreme Court ruling removed obstacles to same-sex marriage in the state. Meanwhile, lawyers for the sponsors of California's same-sex marriage ban have filed an emergency motion asking the Supreme Court to overrule the federal appeals court that on Friday freed the state to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. Thousands took to the streets of London for the city's 42nd annual Pride Day. NPR's Allison Keyes tells us this year had special meaning for marchers.
Some wore rainbow ruffled dresses, others wore big feathered headdresses, and then there were those in towering wigs
and wedding dresses. The theme for this year's celebration is love and marriage, which British Prime Minister David Cameron says is fitting as a bill legalizing same-sex marriage works its way through Parliament. Cameron says the legislation would send a message to young gays and lesbians that their love is the same as anyone else's love. Same-sex couples in Britain can currently form civil partnerships. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
In St. Petersburg, Russia, authorities declared a gay rights rally illegal under a new law against, quote, gay propaganda. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. It's so nice to have all of you around the kitchen table today. We appreciate you being here with us. I'd like to begin by welcoming Miss Shelley York, our executive producer. How are you doing, Miss York?
I'm doing very well on this hot summer day. Thank you for asking.
Oh, my God, is it a hot summer day? My God, where have you been? I haven't seen you in a week. Where have you been like that?
You talking about
I'm talking to you. You've been on vacation.
Talking to me?
Slama. I've been dreaming of taking a cruise to the Maritime Islands around Canada, Prince Edward's Island, Nova Scotia, where my seventh or eighth great grandfather came from, or grandmother, one of them. And Michelle takes a comfortable week off in this cool northern summer and left us all behind. How was your trip?
It was wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you weren't there.
Did you eat any rapi pie while you were up there?
You know, I did not have the opportunity to eat rapi pie.
What about a little fruitcake?
Remember, I brought you two cookbooks with recipes for both that I was hoping you would make. Why would I go for something secondary when I can get the best from home?
The chef.
Exactly.
So you are
an ancestral recipe, no doubt. I'm sure from the false archives.
Well, not false. That was the other side of the family. That was the Mars family. The falses came from Germany, and they hooked up with those Marses. Well, y'all never got the chance to eat rapi pie, and you never got.
No, we did.
A free coat. Most people try to compare it to gumbo. It's not. It's made with beef. It's got a nice broth, but, you know.
Well, it was on our list, but it was chilly, and it was a little rainy in the Maritime Provinces.
But the pictures were beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I got three pictures in a week, Slama.
Oh, wow.
Three pictures. I was so excited.
And he lies. He lies like a rug. Lies like a rug.
All right. I got eight pictures. I got eight pictures. If I'd have been on the Maritime project, she'd have been bombarded her computer with a stall
exploded
with the pictures.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Anyway, what about you, Slama? What's going on? Dean Slama, our engineer. Y'all keeping us alive and well, huh?
Hey, Chef. Yeah. Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you. You know, Slama went to Canada as well. It's kind of a Canadian summer.
Yeah, we're having a good time up north.
Y'all were together. I didn't even know it.
We did not go together. He went 2 weeks before.
Yeah, we went
up
to Quebec.
I guess 2 weeks before I did.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I envied Michelle because she got to do what dream of doing, and that was eating the great Malpec oysters.
Mm. On Prince Edward Island, no less.
Anne of Green Gables fame. She loves Anne of Green and the Lake of Shimmering Water.
Shining
Water. I'm sorry.
The Lake of Shining Waters.
Lake of Shining Waters.
I did have a great experience there. We, you know, being on a cruise ship and traveling with others, sometimes, you know, by the time you rent a car and get where you're going, and you do have a time slot, a window of opportunity.
Tight, yeah.
So we did not get to eat the rapi pie and the frico as we had wanted to, but when we were on Prince Edward Island, we did have the opportunity to go to Carr's Oyster Bar.
Very famous.
Carr's?
Carr's, C-A-R-R apostrophe
S. Yep.
Carr's, yep. Carr's Oyster Bar, right there on a little bay. Wonderful Malpec oysters, fresh, salty, cold. I mean, just spectacular.
Slama, the most famous oyster in the world comes from that region. It's called Ile de Madeleine, Island of Madeleine, Madeleine Island oysters, the best in the world. They run about $5-6 a piece.
a piece. So $6 a dozen.
And so now those are different from New Orleans oysters.
Yeah, they're different. I mean, these are ice cold waters. I mean, well, the Gulf is warm water. We have beautiful oysters. We have large oysters. We have very meaty oysters. Up there, they're ice cold. Oysters tend to be a little small, except Ile de Madeleine. I mean, those are pretty big. But the salinity and the mineral content of those oysters are absolutely incredible. And the icy waters make them just unbelievable to eat.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something.
The lobster's not too shabby either.
No, she's not, she ain't fighting fair, you know.
Or the clams and the mussels.
Anyway, y'all, it's nice to have all of you here. I'm looking forward to this 4th of July weekend. Talking about all this outdoor and cruising and all that kind of stuff, I'm looking forward to 4th of July. You know what I mean?
Well, I am too. I am too. You having a big throwdown?
I'm thinking about doing maybe something a little different because Memorial Day this year. You promised to take part in little activities we had here. You know, you promised potato salad and... Instead, because she makes a pretty good potato salad, and I'm looking, as some of the local folks say, my mouth was fixed for it. And instead, she walks in late, as usual, with a pack of hamburger buns that she picks up at the local grocery store and tosses it on the counter like a deflated basketball and tells us I didn't have time for the potato salad.
Yeah,
so that's the end of that deal.
I had a small container of potato salad. Yeah, you just didn't want the store-bought variety. It was delicious.
Yes, you store-bought, like as if I want that.
It was the best store-bought.
Absolutely, with mustard and everything.
Well, that was a nice gesture for you to stop and break. But you know what? 4th of July, I've decided this year I might actually do something a little different.
What do you usually do? Oh, I know, work.
Well, yeah, I do. But because, you know, it's going to be kind of like this long weekend fight, I'm shutting down the plant. I'm shutting down the food plant. That's exactly right, because I'm changing the floor.
What, for the week?
For the week. And so I got to think.
Does that kind of transfer over to this side of the river?
No, it doesn't. That's only for the other side of the river. But I'm thinking, Slama, I've been on the website looking at opportunities for 4th of July celebrations outside of Louisiana. Not that we don't have good ones here, because I remember I told you the story about us going to Grand Isle for 4th of July?
Yeah.
Daddy took us to Grand Isle every year for 4th of July when we were young, and we had a camp. There were 37 of us in a two-room camp with a window fan that you had to put a quarter in to get some air in there. But we never had quarters, so you know the rest of that story. So, and then one year he decided to do something special for us because it was too hot in Grand Isle, so he took us to the Battleship Alabama and put us in July 4th on the steel decks of the Alabama.
Like a sailor.
Of Alabama. And one of my brothers climbed up the smokestack of the Alabama and fell on and crushed his head. Well, that's all, you know. Whole other story.
Goodness.
But anyway, I never heard that part of the story.
But anyway, I'm thinking about doing something. Michelle, just on my own, since you've been gone so much lately, I decided to just kind of look at opportunities for celebrations outside of Louisiana, and I got some ideas.
Something a little bit other than, like, the parades and the fireworks and the picnics. Unique.
Something unique and interesting, just like you. I mean, I got a little jealous. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a little jealous of you being in the Maritime Provinces.
Are you going to go to the Maritime Provinces?
I don't know where I'm going. I got options.
Well, you know, you do have one option in Atlanta, if you'd like to kind of head that way. They're doing their annual 10K Peachtree Road Race.
Scratch that off the list.
Well, look,
Not involved in running on 4th of July.
Well, look, you don't have to run. You can hand out the water bottles to those who are running.
Well, yeah, I'm not doing that. I can tell you right now, I'm not doing that. I'm thinking about salt water. You know, I wouldn't have to go far, like I mentioned, you know, the Gulf is right there, and there's a lot of stuff out. I mean, right there in Gulfport, you know, they have in that 65th Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and Bob Baumhauer is out there, and that, you know, this has some pretty big, and I might go just maybe hang out there. I'm not much on the beach, as you know.
He doesn't like sand in his toes.
I don't like sand in my toes. And plus, all the girls get excited. Look, Chef John Paul's going to take a picture to get up with all that sand on their bikinis and want to hug on me to take pictures. I'm not into all that, Michelle.
Sounds like trouble.
Must be just on the 4th of July. He's not into that.
I'm going that way and maybe...
Marlin or tuna fishing.
Maybe so. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, there's a fishing rodeo over near Lafayette. Sipramont Point.
Sipramont Point. That's where they do that big fishing, that redfish.
Redfish, snapper, speckled trout, great fishing prizes. Of course, you can't really beat the Gulf Cup Blue Marlin Shootout.
Oh, my God. That's that four-state deal.
That's
right?
A four-state contest. And whoever can bring in the biggest blue marlin gets a cash prize of $300,000.
Wow.
That'd be nice, but that's kind of hot. You know, that's kind of hot.
You might go north.
I might go north. You know the East Coast. Got a brother up there, Philip.
Yes, you
do. And in addition to wanting to see him, he owes me money.
Uh-oh.
He owes me money. So I'm thinking maybe a little trip to the East Coast.
You're going
to
go collect. You're going to make this a collections trip.
Well, no, but I mean, if I should happen to run into him, because he lives in Gloucester, right outside of Boston. Yeah. You know they have that big 4th of July Boston Pop celebration. You know, you watch
it. Oh, I've always wanted to go to that.
Fireworks at Charles River. I mean, really beautiful. And I'm thinking, you know, Keith Lockhart is the maestro on that thing, and that's one of my favorite things to watch is that Boston Pop. And I might just go there, and if I'm lucky enough to run into my brother, I might be able to pay my plane ticket back.
So be it.
I was in Boston last week.
Yeah, I know.
You could also attend the Boston Chowder Festival.
Oh, my God. You know, in Boston, they have that Chowder Fest. And, you know, a couple
chowder.
Of years. Chowder. They call it. C-H-O-W-D-A-H. Chowder.
Chowder.
Now, let me tell you, Michelle.
I took chowder while I was gone.
Yeah, I bet you did. Huh? Yeah, raw is just chowder.
Your favorite. Tough.
Michelle, do you know that I competed in the Baltimore chowder
contest?
I swear to God I did, and I won the Baltimore chowder. I brought crawfish. What are you holding your head
for? I'm listening.
On the banks of the harbor in Baltimore, they had this gigantic chowder cook-off.
Is that Chesapeake Bay?
That's right. And Joe Randall invited me up.
The contest was fixed.
There were 37 chefs from all over the East Coast cooking their favorite chowder. I brought crawfish, jumbo lump crab, Gulf shrimp, and I made a chowder.
Oh, wow.
I made a chowder, and let me tell you what. The crowd.
I mesmerized
the crowd. The judges just kind of gravitated toward my pot. And, of course, I did cheat because I had a cast iron pot.
Oh,
one of my little cast.
Can't
so they
that.
Knew I wasn't from Baltimore, right? Now, Baltimore folks don't have cast iron pots like I have. Anyway, yeah, Michelle, I might hop to, you know, Nathan's is having that big hot dog cook-off again up in Coney Island.
Eating contest.
And 40,000, over 40,000 fans flock there every single year. And Joey Chestnut's going to be there again. You know, he won that contest.
I don't know that you can beat Joey.
I wouldn't try because, let me tell you what, 68 hot dogs he ate last year in 10 minutes. Can you imagine that?
No.
You know
how much did he win?
Well, he won $10,000, and he did not run as fast to pick up that check as he did looking for the nearest bathroom. look, let me tell you what. They were looking for him for the check. They just threw it over the stall in the men's room.
I got one for you.
Okay.
This is what I really think.
I got some pretty good things so far.
I know. You got an even better one. The 4th of July Tom Sawyer Days in
Hannibal,
Missouri.
Oh, my God, Hannibal.
Missouri.
I've been wanting to do that. Remember,
if you decide to do that, Slama and I are going to chip in, and we're going to get you a brand new paintbrush so that you can enter the National Fence Painting Contest.
I've been wanting to do that for the longest time. I would take that raft trip. They have to celebrate. They have the Jumping Frog.
Race.
Yeah, they have the Jumping Frog of Calaveras County competition.
Maybe you can hop over there.
In fact, I'm looking for frogs now. I called two of my friends today asking if Louisiana frogs were
I don't know if you can bring in imposters, foreign frogs.
Oh, no, our frogs know how to jump. Cajuns are grabbing for frogs in the swamp, they jump. These national frogs can't take a Louisiana frog, let me tell you. Anyway, y'all, I have options. My point is, Michelle, I have options. I'm going to think about what I'm going to do. I'm going to share it with you later. See y'all in a little bit.
Sandy, the fireworks are hailing over Little Eden tonight. Forcing a light into all those stony faces left stranded on this warm July. Down in time, the circuits fall, a switch blade lovers.
Wrap up your weekday mornings here on KRVS with the Medicine Ball Caravan. I'm Cecil Doyle, guiding you through an hour-long showcase spotlighting both the latest releases from talent both near and far and classics you may have forgotten about. Also, news about local performing arts and much more. The Medicine Ball Caravan, Monday through Thursdays at 11 a.m. here on KRVS.
Our music on the Thistle and Shamrock transcends boundaries, expands horizons, celebrates tradition, stimulates innovation. It's music to bring people together, so why don't you join us?
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
Hi, this is Nick Forster. Every week in E-Town, we bring together musicians from a wide range of styles for some great live performances and conversation. And we also present the Achievement Award to someone doing outstanding work in their communities. It's an hour of uplifting stories and music each week on E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS.
We're live from the Liberty Theater in Eunice, Louisiana, every Saturday night from 6 to 7:30. Hi, this is Barry Unsley inviting you to join us right here on KRVS for the Rendezvous des Cajuns every Saturday night from 6 to 7:30 with great Cajun music, Zydeco, lots of other regional music, stories, commentary, and who knows what else, because we are live from the Liberty Theater in Eunice, Louisiana.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. Saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. I'm Chef John Falls, sitting here in the big studio kitchen with Michelle Yark and, of course, Dean Slomik, keeping us alive and well on that. Anyway, y'all, it's so nice to have all of you here with us. Today, we're talking about celebrating the birth of a nation. We're talking about celebrating July 4th, and Michelle and I were just talking about me maybe having some options this year to go to some other celebrations around the country.
You might want to stick to grilling.
You think I want to stick?
You might want to stick with grilling, doing a little barbecue, maybe doing a little smoking, or better yet, just go eat some. I got a place to recommend.
You got a place to recommend for me to go eat, is what you're saying, huh? Yeah, well, I tell you what. When we got to talking about this show today, we knew that we had to have two special guests on from a place that I just started eating at. I've eaten at about three times. Normally, I don't eat three times at a royal place because I got other places to go. But I'm kind of stuck on this place now.
I'm glad you are.
And then we said, yeah, because I always pick up the check. And I want to talk about that.
Well,
Every time I go there, I pick up the check. What's the deal here?
I was like Christopher Columbus. Yeah, I discovered
discovered
that gives me like certain rights.
Yeah. Yeah, right to get into my pocketbook. Huh? But anyway, I don't mind paying for it because I tell you what, look, in addition to the barbecue, the hot tamales. And by the way, I brought 12 hot tamales back here the other day from that place, put it in the refrigerator in Slama. By 5 o'clock, they had there was wrappers.
Ooh,
and nobody knew a thing about it. Nobody knew one thing. Oh, it's hot tamales?
Yeah,
what hot tamales? Well, I didn't even know there was hot tamales. And everybody had tomato sauce around the edge of their mouth around here. Anyway, introduce our guest.
That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that was very good.
That's funny.
You introduce our guest because I tell you, I love these two folks.
I know it. We have Piman and Yolanda Perilou of Pimignoli's Sidewalk Cafe.
I love that name, Pimignoli's, because they named it Pim after him and Yol after Yolanda.
I know.
I wonder how it wasn't Yol and Pim's, because normally the woman is first. We got to talk about that.
Now, you may be starting something.
I might be starting a fuss.
You might not ought to ask that question.
Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe you're right, huh? I know one thing. If it was John and Michelle, I'd know how that name would be going.
Yeah, me too. And it wouldn't be John and Michelle, but that's another story. But, you know, they serve up some of the best pulled pork and brisket that I have ever
eaten. I love that. I love it. I love it. I get that hamburger bun just stuffed full of that. Oh.
And the ribs are nothing to sneer at.
Nothing's nothing to sneer at over there, I tell you.
The restaurant's over there on Airline Highway near Klein Peter Dairy, here in Baton Rouge. It's always packed. Always packed when you go in there.
You know, hold on. That's the first sign of knowing you had the right spot.
You got that right.
Look, people vote with their feet.
We even went in a little bit later thinking we were going to be
Oh, yeah. That's what I did. I went in.
We did. Yeah, we went in first.
But you know what happened? People said, look, that's John Falls right there. And they started getting up and that gave me
that. You think you're the reason.
No, I got a seat. I got a seat. When somebody got up, I made believe I didn't know that somebody was sitting there. So I said, I'm going to sit right in. Nobody's going to ask me to get up. That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pepper is one of the most congenial men you'll ever meet, and Yolanda always greets you at the door with that big, gracious smile and welcoming you in. They're both from generations of good cooks, and you know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Heirloom recipes.
No doubt about it. Heirloom recipes. Pepper, Yolanda, welcome. We're so excited to have you on Stirring It Up today.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, I'll tell you, I was so happy the day that Michelle Yard came over here and said, John, I discovered a place. Do you know about this place? And she started to tell me about it. I said, where? And she said it again, and where?
But he left out one part. He said, where are my ribs?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We had to break the news that we ate them.
Well, then I got to the television station, and the first person I run into at Channel 9 at CBS over there was Johnny Ashen. And Johnny Ashen was telling me, I said, man, did you ever hear about this place? He said, well, I eat there all the time. I said, well, why don't I? What's going on that I don't know? He said, you go in the other direction. Anyway, y'all, it is so great to have y'all with us today. Thanks so much for being with us on Stirring It Up. Nice to have y'all.
Thank you, John.
Pleasure to be here.
No, Pimmin or Pepper, I'm assuming Pepper's your nickname. How'd you get that name?
Well, my grandfather gave me the name as a kid. I had a bad temper when I was a kid. And when I got mad, I turned red as a pepper, that you see.
Oh. And you're such a calm fella today. That really is hard to believe. Well, what about the restaurant name? Because it is unusual, and it's taken the two of us a little time to master it, Pimignoli's. But tell us about the name.
Well, Piment is Creole for pepper, and Yoli is her nickname for Yolanda. We just combined the names and came up with Pimignoli's.
That's clever, and it's very unique. I love that.
And what the good news about a restaurant name like this is that once people get it, and once they get to understand the name, Pimignoli's, then they never forget it, right?
They never forget it.
And it's got such a good ring to it. Well, how long has the restaurant been there? Like I say, I'm a latecomer. I just discovered it at the hands of Miss Yark here. And, of course, I've been there 3 or 4 times since we discovered it. How long has it been there?
We've been here 5 years, June the 23rd, and you're really late. You're 5 years late, John.
I know I'm late. Can you imagine that? I'm normally ahead of the game, you know?
Now, have y'all been in the restaurant business all your lives, or is this a new venture?
This is a new venture. I left the casino because of health reasons, and I just came up with the idea, let's open a restaurant. Well, we did pretty good, but that was a big mistake for me because that's hard work, man.
So you were in the casino business. Now, what did you do it for the casinos? What were you doing?
I was a pit supervisor.
14 years.
For 14 years. Now, did you come from a cooking background, or Yolanda, did you come from a cooking background? What made you think that the restaurant business would be a good thing for you to do?
Well, our family had a catering business. We actually started with tamales in 1970. And people started asking us to do weddings for their families and, you know, their daughter. We catered for senators, Governor Edwards, legislators, that kind of thing. And so, you know, just kept being asked. And so we kind of stayed in it. After my father died, Pepper and I took it over. And we've just been doing it as a side hobby is what it's been. Over all these years.
Now, did y'all start out thinking that smoking of meats or barbecuing or, I know you in the tamale side, and oh my God, what great tamales y'all make. And it's hard to find great tamales, and y'all really have fabulous ones. But was the smoking and the barbecuing something in your past? Because normally if you would open a restaurant, you say, okay, we have great tamales and we cater, so we're going to have a good buffet restaurant or something. What brought on the smoked and barbecued meats?
Pepper had perfected that technique through my uncle from San Antonio, right? We really wanted to be a diner when we first opened, like serving meatloaf and potatoes and spaghetti and meat, so, you know, that kind of thing. Just your normal, staple, everyday food. That's what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The first thing Pepper put out was his smoked meat. We had been doing that the whole time we had the catering business, but he put out the smoked meats and the ribs, and when I tried to do meatloaf, they didn't want it. They wanted his smoked meats, and that's really how, you know, our customers turned us into a smokehouse. It's what really happens.
Well, that's what I say. The customers always vote with their feet, and there's no doubt about it that your restaurant, I mean, it's always rocking. It's always as busy. People are lined up at the door, and we see everybody we know in there.
Right.
I mean, one of the people eating with us the other day said, I'm amazed at how fast they get people in and out.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a product of having the tamales done and in that nice sauce. Mm-hmm. I mean, just simmering. They're always hot and ready to go. The smoked meat's
right.
The same thing, y'all. You really do a good job of moving a ton of people through that place very quickly. Tell everybody exactly where you're located.
We're directly in front of Klein Peters Farms Dairy. We're in the strip center on the corner of Behringer Farman and Airline Highway.
Yeah, now that's an easy landmark, especially for people from Baton Rouge, New Orleans area to know, because Klein Peters Farm Dairies is the big dairy building right on Airline Highway past Highland Road going into
right.
Baton Rouge, and they've been there over 100 years. So everybody
yeah.
knows where Klein Peters, and if you look to the right, if you're going into Baton Rouge, there's the shopping center, and y'all right in there. So even
right.
though, and I say again, even though every time I walk in, there might not be an empty seat, but by the time you walk in, you're going to see 20 people you know, and by the time you say hello, a chair is open and you're ready to go.
We talked a little bit about that brisket, but kind of what's the secret to it? I know John's been trying to get back there and see what you're doing.
Well, they got a great sauce. They have a fabulous sauce. The smoke is really good. Got that good smoke ring. Tell us a little bit about that particular technique. You said you learned in San Antonio where it's got a fabulous flavor, good and tender, juicy, great sauce flavor. Tell us a little bit, without divulging any secrets here, tell us a little bit about what makes yours different from just stopping at any other barbecue joint.
Okay, I have a special rub put on, and I rub it down, let it sit for a couple of hours, put it on the smoker for another 18 hours, let it go real slow at 220, 230 degrees.
Wow. Are you smoking brisket and pork shoulders as well, or just briskets as your specialty?
No, brisket and my pork shoulder, you know, that's at the same time because they both take about 18 hours, 15 to 18 hours to cook. To get it to the texture I like, anyway.
Right.
And how big is that smoker?
I've had something like maybe 300 pounds of brisket and about 100 pounds of pork shoulder.
Right.
So it can handle that, you know, up to about 800 pounds at a time.
Wow. And
how often you do that?
Every day.
I believe it.
I believe it too. All you got to see the number of people in the restaurant, you know. And I tell you something else I love too is, let me tell you, being a chef and seeing a plate of your brisket coming to the table or one of your sandwiches, the way the meat is sliced, the way you see the care, and I mean, you just care about what y'all do, and you can sense it in the restaurant. Everybody's smiling, all of the staff, and look, let me tell you, I'm in the restaurant business. I know things can get heated. In addition to the oven and the burners, it can get heated in a restaurant. But every time you walk in there, everybody seems to be having a good welcoming time, and you just said something just now. I mean, that 210, 220 degree smoker just pounding away for 18 hours on a brisket and a shoulder, no wonder that meat is so good. There's no such thing as rushing it. But I'm also thinking about the time you have to commit, the two of y'all have to commit to cook 18 hours worth of meat, seasoning it, and then you run the restaurant at the same time. So it's a huge commitment in that. Do you have some help rubbing those briskets down, Pepper?
Most of the time I do it myself, but I do have one that's pretty good on the brisket. The other one is real good on the ribs.
Now, let me ask you the next question. I know you got all the business you can handle. I'm just wondering if you're interested in franchising. Shall I might get in the business. Well, I might go down there and talk. You might have a finder's fee. I might go down there and talk to Pepper and Yolanda. I might have me a little something going on the side.
Is that right?
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, what about the side items? Because, you know, I'm a potato salad freak. But also, you have corn pudding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about the corn pudding because it is delicious.
I know. Actually, see, my mom used to make corn pudding. That comes from me because I grew up eating that. She used to fry the corn.
Oh.
So in a skillet with cream and flour and sugar. And, I mean, we used to grow our own corn. So she'd go pick it, and then I would scrape it, and you pull the silk and all, and she would fry that up that I'm talking about. It's the most perfect thing. And then you know, over the years, I just started adding different things to it because hers was basic and simple. But I'd add, you know, like the tomatoes and sauteed onion and that kind of thing to it, hot peppers, jalapeno peppers.
I like it because it's kind of like a dessert.
She can justify her vegetable because it's odd. But look, it is delicious and unique, which is what makes your place so special. You know, somebody told me the other day, Louisiana is a one-menu state. Everywhere you go, everybody's serving the same thing. I said, you know what? I told Michelle this the other day. I said, what makes y'all place so special, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it with y'all. That's where you're going to get it. Louisiana might be a one-menu state where we all got the same fish. We all got the crawfish etouffee. We all have those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you what, your place is unique. Now, tell me about the tamales, because the tamales are absolutely delicious.
All right. Well, the tamales, that's from my mother as well. She's from Newellton, Louisiana, Verde Pass. And she just used to follow this man around town called Hot Tamale Dan in Newellton. She didn't have any children. Before he died, he gave her the recipe.
Now, did you say Newellton around Lake Bruin up there?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Michelle. Newellton, I know that little town.
That's right. It's little, boy.
St. Joe, and next is Newellton. I used to go to Newellton all the time to the feed and seed store over there. So the Tamale Dan used to, and she followed him around till she got that recipe, huh?
Right. He didn't have any children, and she asked him for it, and gave it to her.
God bless him for that, because those are delicious tamales. And I have to tell you, guess who has ordered a tamale-making machine?
Okay.
Look, let me tell you, I love tamales. Y'all have some of the best tamales. Well, look, y'all have some of the best of everything. That's why I've been in there so many times, Michelle, because they got the best of everything, plus the hospitality.
I know.
I was in there just about a week ago, and I brought all of y'all were with me, right?
I mean,
we had about five of us. And I walked in there, and I looked around the table, and the who's who of Baton Rouge was all over this restaurant. And I said, now, these people had to drive a long way. And Michelle said, well, we drove 30 miles to get here. What are you talking about? What is it? Tell me what is it. I know you have good food. I know you have great hospitality. What is it that's driving your crowd? I mean, there's other restaurants with good food. There's other people welcoming people at the door. What's setting y'all apart over there?
I don't know. I hope it's because we're local. You're right. I hope it's because the food is good. I hope it's because, you know, our community is trying to support a local business. I think it's all of that, maybe. And we, you know, strive on, you know, making our customer service extremely important.
Right.
So I hope they're getting that as well, you know, as you spoke about it. But a combination of all of that.
Well, somebody asked me the other day, when I was talking about y'all, and I was saying that y'all were going to be on our radio show, and somebody asked me that question. Well, what makes them so special? You can go do this. Why? You know, and they were asking. And I said, you know what? I think what it is, it's a family in business that's trying really hard to greet that customer with passion every single day and supplying quality consistently. People know what they're going to get, and they're going to get it from you. And y'all are there. I mean, when the owners are at the door, you know, there's an old Italian saying, and it says that the pig is fattened at the hands of the owner.
Yeah.
And I looked at an old Italian one day who told me that, and I said, well, what does that mean? He said, if you see a skinny pig, they got somebody feeding it.
Yeah.
If the owner's feeding that pig, it's nice and fat. So you know what? Your pig is being fattened at the hands of the owner, and I think I congratulate y'all for being a great family business. I congratulate y'all for being right on top of your customer, and we're going to put all of your information on our website. Everybody's going to know where you are from us. And I just want to tell our public that we don't choose people just out of the blue. We choose them because we know that you're going to enjoy that experience. And we want you to go to Pimignola's over there, right across from Klein Peters. It is a fantastic place. Thank y'all so much for being with us today.
We're going to
see
y'all
soon.
Y'all, thanks a lot.
Okay, y'all. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Okay. Bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain,
up Purple Mountain Majesties.
What's happening musically in Dakar? Joburg, Kinshasa for Spain, Havana, Accra, Dar es Salaam, Cairo, Paris, New York. Well, tune in this week and every week to find out on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi, this is Bill Bowens from The Dirty Rice Show, inviting you to join either Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, or myself every Saturday night from 8:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. for Dirty Rice right here on KRBS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, Public Radio for Acadiana.
Greetings. Move to KRVS every Sunday night for 2 hours of hardcore classic Rasta reggae radio right here on Jamon. Jamon, Sunday nights 9 to 11 p.m., Saturday mornings 1 to 3 here on KRVS, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best-tasting food and culture show on radio. And Michelle, I love to make sure everybody builds their library one book at a time.
That's right.
So what do you have this week?
Well, one of the master grillers, Stephen Reichlin, we have his book on there, How to Grill. The book is kind of for the serious griller and goes way beyond burgers. He gives detailed instructions, detailed techniques for grilling with coal and gas, and he has recipes for everything from beef tenderloin to creme brulee. Now, I cannot imagine creme brulee on the grill, but there you go. There's also a section in here on rubs and sauces. It is a truly great book for the grill aficionado. So that's How to Grill by Stephen Reichlin. And then, of course, a lot of people may be wanting to do picnics or as the summer approaches and 4th of July. So the next book I'd like to recommend is called Picnics, Easy Recipes for the Best Alfresco Foods.
Oh, alfresco dining. Dining a la alfresco. Mm.
That's right. And this was written by Robin Vitetta Miller. A little book. But it takes picnic foods to a whole new level. The things are kept simple, certainly portable. All you need to do is get the basket and the blanket.
Hmm.
So, How to Grill and also Picnics, great additions to your culinary library. And all that information will be on the website.
You know, I put in a new big smokehouse over at White Oak Farm, right?
Yes, I do.
You see
it? I do. Yeah, it's right in front of Coop DeVille.
We got some pictures of that up on jfuls.com.
The smokehouse?
Of the smokehouse, yes.
I took our old two-hole outhouse on Cabanossi Plantation. It was falling apart. It had leaned over into the woods. Because, I mean, we got actually running water and toilets over there in 1997. I got permission to remove the old two-hole outhouse from the Cabanossi Plantation in St. James Parish and moved it over to White Oak. And this little Tilton Hilton is what it looked like, just kind of falling over on one side, was resurrected to a place of ultimate promise right there at White Oak. And it's become our new smokehouse. And you got pictures on
the
web?
We have pictures, actually, of the operation.
Where would people find it?
That would be at jfuls.com, and you've got a series of logos on that front page. But I think there's a logo that says White Oak Plantation. Or
White Oak Farm. White Oak Farm.
White Oak Farm.
And that brings you to the pig pens and the chicken yards and everything else.
Oh, we got a whole gallery out there. And what you're talking about, the renovation of the outhouse into the smokehouse, I believe they got a whole series of pictures, a gallery out there.
Oh, yeah, or how we moved it and everything.
You got a gang of friends picking it up and moving it across the yard.
That's going to be a lot of fun. You know what I want to do? Right now, I'm going to challenge our listeners.
Oh, goodness.
The first smoke that we do in Cabanossi's renovated smokehouse, the recipe should come from our listener, and that should be our next chef de cuisine here on Starting It Up.
Okay.
Why don't we challenge everybody between now and 4th of July or so to send in their best. Now, the smokehouse is, about 6x6 inside, so, I mean, it's nice size, and it's wood-fired and all of that. So all of our listeners out there, if you have a great, like a pork shoulder or rib or brisket or anything like that, recipe that would be the first thing to smoke, to go down in history as the first thing to smoke in the Cabanossi Smokehouse at White Oak Farm, and you can see a picture of it, and we'd like to take a picture of you taking that cooked meat out of there as our guest on the first Starting It Up barbecue show.
Well, Stovehounds, you heard it here first. Just get out there to our Facebook page, which it's facebook.com/stirringitupradio, and there's no G in that stirring. And it's our public forum. That's where the Stovehounds have been conversing and talking all food things. But right now, you just heard the good chef. It's a challenge.
What a challenge, and what an honor, too, because this two-hole outhouse has been hanging around the plantation for, half a century. Anyway, you got to see the picture of it on the website, and we want you to send in your recipe, and we will choose our next chef de cuisine on Starting It Up Radio, and we're going to do pictures of you out at the smokehouse. And anyways, facebook.com/stirringitup. So
we have a lot of recipes on the website, y'all. jfuls.com. They're all there for you. You can print them out. You can go to the store today, get everything you need. Take your time. You can work on Sunday and Monday to get all of your dishes ready. Put them in the refrigerator. Come 4th of July. Michelle, it's off to the races with this stuff. And I want to mention, there's a dish in Toledo Bend that's called Stir Up.
kind of named after our show almost. No, I think our show was named after them. Stir up is made with the breading that falls off of the fish to the bottom of the fryer. After you've done all of that, after you've fried the fish, you pour the oil off, except for those grimies, as we call them, the cornmeal flavored with the mustard and everything falls to the bottom of the fryer, and you scoop all of that up, and I hate to say it, with a little bit of oil. And you sprinkle that across the fish, and they call it stir-up, and it's almost like a liquid hush puppy. And I know people are saying, oh, that must be burned, and that must be this. But no, it's got all these wonderful flavors. And there's also a shrimp dish that I discovered in Cocodrie. Remember when we went to Cocodrie and had all of the people sit around and talk to us about game and hunting? Mm-hmm. One of the gentlemen there actually told me, Mr. Savant told me about a shrimp dish. One of his favorite shrimp dishes when they were shrimping or at the hunting camp was to fry shrimp and then to stir up the bottom of the pot where the drippings fell off of the coating of the shrimp with the hot sauce and all of that, and sprinkle it on top of rice with the fried shrimp on top of rice. I've never heard of eating fried shrimp on rice like a shrimp stew, but you take the fried shrimp, put it on top of steamed white rice, sprinkle this, the grimies that fall to the bottom of the fry, and mix it all up, and that's your gravy. Y'all, we're going to jump right quickly into the Great American Hamburger, because I think it's important that people know that, because I showed the different types of meats, the ground chuck, the ground round, the ground sirloin, as opposed to just kind of that mixed grind over there that's about 40% fat. The fact is, most people will think it's ground pork when you look at it, because it's beef with so much fat in it. The perfect hamburger is always made with a ground chuck or a ground sirloin, ground round, about 20% maximum fat. You have to have fat in a burger. 15 to 20% is good. If you need less fat, of course, you can do ground turkey or something like that, which is also very good. The meat should be ground twice. All the great hamburger makers tell you that. Tell the butcher to ground it twice. It cuts all the sinew. It cuts all of that mess out. And then after it's ground twice, the key that we as chefs have to adhere to, the key that we must not be pulled into this dungeon of grief, I'm going to call it, Michelle, is overworking the meat between our fingers like we're making a biscuit. It toughens the meat. It works the protein out of the meat and causes a tough cut of meat. And have you ever been to a hamburger joint? And let's just talk about the main big three, the McDonald's, the Burger King, the Wendy's, these kind of throw in White Castle, whoever you want to throw in. And have you ever seen onion, celery, bell pepper, egg, breadcrumbs inside of the hamburger patties?
No.
Never. It's always a plain patty. Why? Because that is the ultimate burger. So, y'all, the way we're going to do this here, and this will make six beautiful burgers, and I have the recipe on our site, 2 1/4 pounds of ground round or chuck. I use those two, round or chuck. 2 tablespoons of melted butter. I'll drop that and have a little extra fat. Salt and cracked black pepper has to be on the side, granulated garlic on the side, and 6 hamburger buns. And the way I do it, very gently, I'll put the little butter down into the burger meat, and then without working it, I'll just pull a piece of meat out about the size of a baseball, and then gently pat it into a circle. I don't mix it. I don't squeeze it through my fingers, and I make a nice round patty about 3/4 of an inch thick. And then when I put it down onto the grill, the hot grill, or the char broil, or whatever I'm going to do, then I sprinkle my salt, pepper, and granulated garlic on the surface of the meat. Mm-hmm. I don't mix it into the meat. Then 2 to 3 minutes on each side, you know, and then you want to, most people say 4 minutes for a good cook on each side. You'll see the little sweat bubbles coming up to the top. You flip it over and you put salt, pepper, granulated garlic on the other side. And then you cook it until done, depending on, normally it takes about 6 minutes to cook a 3/4 inch burger, 4 minutes on one side, 2 on the other, to keep that nice juice. Don't press on that burger, throw that spatula away, and don't stick a fork in it. You're going to lose all of your juices. And then, Michelle, you want to take your toppings. You make a great burger by seasoning the meat with salt, pepper, and granulated garlic, grilling it nicely, whether it's on a flat grill or a charbroiler. But your flavor comes from your toppings and your dressing. So some crisp iceberg lettuce, some beautiful sliced Creole tomatoes. That's why hamburgers are so good for 4th of July. We're still in tomato season. Mm-hmm. thinly sliced onion, like just like the Bermuda or red onions, very thinly sliced. A nice dill or sweet pickle, whichever one you like. If you want to add flavor, two bacon strips, a nice applewood smoked bacon. And then on each side of the burger, I like to warm my bun up. I like to throw it on the pit just for a minute or in the oven if you're going to do it in the house. Just warm it up. It makes it really a little crisper. Don't overcook it. It'll be like a Melba toast. You just want to warm it up. Put ketchup on each side. You want to put mayonnaise on each side. So you have ketchup kind of mayonnaise combination. It's almost like a remoulade. You can squeeze a little mustard on if you like. A lot of people put yellow mustard. And then you put that burger down on top of the mustard on the lower end. Then you put all of your fresh ingredients, season every one of them. When you put that tomato down, sprinkle a little salt and pepper on it. Come all the way up with your fresh lettuce, put that top bun on, and that's the only time you want to put pressure on that burger meat right then. Grab it between your fingers and squeeze down, Michelle. The great American hamburger is simple. You don't need eggs. You don't need breadcrumbs. You don't need onions. Nothing in it. Everything is on top, y'all. It's beautiful. Whoa, I tell you, time flies by.
Just think of all the foods that you could be preparing for the 4th of July. I mean, you could be grilling hamburgers, or you could be grilling hot dogs, or you could be eating watermelon, or you could be having ice cream or watermelon or barbecue.
You said
or
watermelon
fish fry.
Twice. Said watermelon.
Oh, did I say it twice? Yeah. I guess I want some watermelon. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
And you said something really important, Michelle, to me. Give me liberty or give me death. And I'm going to thank all of our wonderful members of the armed forces, men, women from every religious group and every ethnic background and every culture, every cuisine that's protecting all of us in the United States and all of the people we help protect each other around the world. What a great job they do for us. I know that they listen to us on the internet. I know particularly there's one group that sits around the internet on Monday and listens to our radio show as they try to cook something from Louisiana. So I want to tell all of you guys, happy 4th of July. And hey, if you have something to make a gumbo, make one. And if not, just kind of fake it out. But it's a little hot over there, so maybe, I don't know.
Might be a little hot for gumbo.
I tell you what, our Louisiana guys and girls over there, they'll eat gumbo. But anyway, thanks to all of you for all that you do to give us liberty and protect us, our freedoms around the world, especially what's going on today. So
yes,
that's all I want to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you.